We are on a mission to empower busy women with the tools and skills they need to grow a successful, profitable and purposeful handmade creative business.
A business that they are excited to jump out of bed for every morning.
A business that allows them to quit the day job and start living life how they want to live it.
Welcome to the Handmade Business Podcast with your hosts Anna Maria and Lindsay Warren.
Hi everyone and welcome to this week's episode, which is all about how social media can get you more sales. So I'm a really big fan of using Instagram in particular to, you know, that's really helped me grow my handmade business so much. It helps me drive traffic to my Etsy store. And, you know, for me, it's been a brilliant win. I think there's quite a lot to think about, though, when it does come to social media. And I know Anna's got some great content to share with us as well. But I'm just going to start off by kind of setting the scene of, you know, how I get my one-to-one coaching clients to look at Instagram and how I look at Instagram myself. So I go with the mindset that on Instagram, I am being the helpful shopkeeper. So I want people to visit my page, know immediately what it is that I sell, and I want to make it easy for them to know how to buy from me. So I think when you can have that kind of mindset, it stops you worrying about that you're being too salesy, you know, because some people, you know, when I speak to different clients, I say, oh, but will that be too salesy if I tell people how to buy, you know, and what I encourage them to do is to imagine you've got a handful of, you've picked up some beautiful things in a real shop. You don't know how much any of them are and you don't know where to pay. How long are you going to be wandering around that shop before you're like, you know what, I've had enough of this, I'm just going to go. And selling online, if you keep that mindset, that can really, really help you so much. So, you know, I want you to sort of think about this mindset of being the really helpful shopkeeper. So what are your thoughts on that, Anna?
Well, I think that analogy is perfect. And I think that if somebody comes to your page, and we were talking about this before we came on, like if somebody comes to your page, they should know instantly what it is that you make as a handmade seller. This doesn't mean that you need to be, you know, writing a caption on every page saying, buy my pot or buy my hat or buy my it doesn't need to be like that. In fact we'd probably recommend that you don't do that.
Yeah,
but it should be obvious, like, oh, this person sells pots or this person sells hats, and they should be interested to look at each of your photographs, and if you've got carousels, to swipe through, and you know the making process. And they should also maybe see it, like you said about the being the shopkeeper, they should also see a picture of you so that they can say, oh, that's the person that makes the pots or the hats. So putting a face to the shop. So I completely agree. You should be the, what did you say, helpful shopkeeper? What was that? Yeah. Exactly. And I think that social media can get you more sales by building the know, like, trust factor. And that, by having the helpful shopkeeper, that's precisely what you do. If you have that attitude for your, whether it's your Instagram or your Pinterest or your Facebook or whatever it is, if you build the know, like, trust, you will get more sales.
I think that's so true, because really, I think sometimes people forget as well, social media is a chance to get social. So it's, you know, and that is one, you know, giving your customers the opportunity to get to know you is one of the ways to build up that know, like, and trust. You know, and there's so many little things you can share about yourself, even just, you know, what you're doing that day, you can share in a post as well as still selling your product, and just adding all those little bits of you. I think it can be done in a really nice way, don't you, Anna?
Yeah, definitely. I talk about within my planner blueprints for the marketing section, I talk about a principle that I developed called SETIC. It's not new. It's not something SETIC, the acronym is mine, but it's not something that other people don't talk about in a roundabout way. So SETIC stands for sell, entertain, teach, inspire, and connect.
Oh,
and
if brilliant. You do all I love those, that.
If you do all those things, you will build the know, like, trust factor, and you will get more sales. So yes, you should be selling, but it shouldn't always be, like I said at the start, putting a big caption on saying, buy my products. That's not selling. That's not. On some pages, on some posts, maybe you could say, this is brand new in the shop and you can buy it via the link in my profile. But I think we'll both agree that you should be selling on every post, just not maybe as obvious as that on every post. So, you know, sometimes you might be entertaining, and like we've discussed this, you might not need to get your tap shoes out, but you still need to entertain on some level. And that doesn't mean dancing, and it could be anything that you think your target audience would find entertaining.
Well, I think when you're selling products, you know, sometimes when you do like little reels and stuff like that, you know, they don't have to be anything mind blowing. You know, one of the little reels that I've done is just like, I've got a little turntable, like I think it's a little cake decorating thing, where I put some of my little pom pom creations and I just twizzle it round. But it means that people can see, you know, all of the item and they get a little bit more of a feel for it. So, you know, if you don't have to do anything really spectacular, they're just little things that are going to make people stop in their tracks when they come to your page and think, oh, what's that? You know, you want them to stop the scroll, is how I like to think of it. You know, the more things you can do to stop the scroll, you know, the more views and interaction and chances of sales that you're actually going to get. Do you agree, Anna?
Yeah, and I like that. Just the you don't have to do anything mind-blowing. It just has to be something that stops the scroll. I think that's exactly what the entertainment part would be. It could be you're telling a joke, but it's relevant to your target audience, or you're sharing something that, you know, it could even be something that you're sharing from somebody else that's entertained you and you think your audience would be entertained by it. Teach would be the next letter in the acronym. Now, this doesn't necessarily, because, you know, if you're a handmaker, you're not necessarily needing to educate, in inverted commas, your audience. But by what I mean by teaching is teach your audience how to use your product. So teach them where it is in their home, in their life, on their person, with their children, that they would best be served using your product. So it's that features and benefits. You're explaining what your feature is and how that's going to benefit them. That's the teaching aspect. Then the next letter would be inspire. I think quotes are really good for this, or, you know, just little snippets of motivational posts for the day, just to inspire the person that you know's watching, scrolling through, because at the end of the day you want, and then by them being inspired, then they'll know to come back to you for another bit of inspiration or another bit of entertainment or another bit of teaching, whatever it is, because, and that's how you build in the know, like, trust. And then the last bit would be connect, and you would do that on every single post. Because social media is social, you're supposed to be engaging. So always be connecting with people that are liking your posts, people that are commenting on your posts, people that are sending you DMs. That's how you build the connection. So that would be my SETIC formula. And I think that if you can impart each one of those into your feed, you will build the know, like, trust. You will get more social media sales.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I mean, I on my like fairy page, I like to share like a little magic message, and I want people to come to my page. I want them to see something that's going to make them smile. I want to leave them with something that, a quote that's going to hopefully will, a little magic message, you know, that will make them feel good. I want them to go away from my page feeling good, but I also do want them to know how they can buy as well. So, and the ways that I do that in a bit more subtler ways, quite often I might do a little PS at the bottom. I might share my magic message. Sometimes I might be sharing a magic message and what I'm up to for the day. I might ask them a question. And then I do a little PS at the bottom. You can, you know, if you like this fairy, you can, you know, it's available in my Etsy store. Link is in my bio. So I try and do a little mixture of all the feel good things, but then I'm being the helpful shopkeeper at the end of my post.
I think that's great, actually, because what you've done there, you've got the fairy picture. So you've got your product. So you're still technically selling, but then by having the quote, you're inspiring. Then in the caption, you're asking maybe a question, so you're connecting. And then right at the end, you're leaving the PS where you're saying, and you can buy this fairy that's in the post, which I am subtly selling to you, via the link in my bio. So you're creating a call to action twice, actually, because you're asking a question. That's one call to action. And you're saying, click the link in my bio if you'd like to buy this fairy that I'm very beautifully showing you in my post, which I'm also inspiring you with a little quote. So you're definitely ticking lots of those boxes there. And it's all very subtly done. And that, what I think's great as well about your feed, Lindsay, is whenever I see a post from you in my feed, I know it's you. Do you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, I think consistency in your branding, you know, is a really important thing. And that's exactly what I've always tried to aim to achieve, that when somebody, you know, when I do come up in somebody's feed, they know automatically that it's me. That is a really important way for people to recognise you, I think. Do you, Anna?
Yeah, definitely. So, and another thing that I think we should move on to there with the, when you, we were talking about call to actions, is Instagram especially is a really great place to kind of push people down a sales funnel. That sounds really aggressive. Push people down a sales funnel.
I'm just getting visions of us now sitting here pushing people down a tunnel.
But it is a great place because we've got that little bit in the bio. We've got that little, what's it called? Linktree. That's what I wanted. The ability to link to Linktree, which is where you can have all your Etsy shop, your blog post, your newsletter sign on. So again, it's allowing people to click through to other places where you are on the internet, especially your Etsy shop, because obviously that's what we want more than anything, is for people to go and buy from us. So getting people to know, like, trust means they're more likely to go to your bio and click through to the links, but make sure that the links are there in the first place. Because I have seen a few shops recently where it's not really been very obvious where it is that I should go to buy from them. And that's what you were saying at the beginning, Lindsay, about, you know, if you've picked up the products and now you want to go and buy, but it's not really very obvious where you go. So
definitely. You need to make it as easy as possible for people. So, you know, I really want people to kind of get out of that mindset that they're being salesy. They're just being helpful. You know, that and the easier you make it for people to buy from you, the more likely you are to get sales. One thing that I think is, you know, that I just want to share is that when Amazon changed to their one click buying, their sales skyrocketed. You know, as if they didn't make enough money already. And I don't know about you, Anna, but have you ever gone to Amazon and you've put, I thought of putting something in my basket. No, I've bought and paid for it. It's done.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Very dangerous.
Yeah. So, you know, if it's good enough for the big players like Amazon, they want to get people to that checkout as soon as possible. If that works for them, it can work for us. So, you know, just think that the easier you make it for people, the more likely you are to get sales.
Absolutely. I mean, I know, like at Christmas, I was trying to, my friend had a baby and I was trying to buy these baby grows. And they were from a really sustainable shop and, you know, all their materials were all sustainable and she had beautiful prints. And I been waiting for my friend to have a baby, and then I was like, I'm going to buy these baby grows. Now, she had a very nice website, but getting to the checkout page and then getting from the checkout to the payment section was taking forever. And in the end, I just had to go off because I didn't have the time to sit there and wait to go around in what felt like circles trying to pay for the thing that I had in my basket. Yeah. And, you know, if you do sell on Etsy, that's one of the great things about Etsy is it actually is really quite simple to check out. Once you put something in the basket, it's just maybe one or two clicks. If you pay by PayPal, it's two clicks, because if your information's already in, it's literally pay. Yes, that's right. Pay again. That's it. So they're making it easy for you. You make it easy for your customer to get to your shop from your socials. And it's also a great place to put, like I said, your newsletter, because your newsletter is your place to, you know, if somebody isn't quite ready to buy right now, your newsletter is a great place to warm up your customer. Or if they want to learn more about, you know, what it is that you do, especially if you have like sustainable products and things like that, you know, you can talk about that within your newsletter. You're again building that know, like, trust. So yeah, make sure you link to all those things.
Yeah. One thing I find as well is that, and I see this as quite a common thing, is that people don't put their name on their Instagram page. And if you want people to get to know you, you need to have your name in your bio so people can see exactly who you are. And one thing I like to do is I put my name at the bottom of every single post. You know, I'm always, whatever page you come and find me on, so I've got my handmade business, I've got my coaching business, and then I've got my handmade craft fair page. At the bottom of every single post, it always says Love Lindsay. And you know, I can guarantee you, when people on my handmade craft fair page, the majority of people on there will be saying hi Lindsay, because they'll know my name, even though it's not in my, you know, the handmade craft fair doesn't have anything about Lindsay in there, but I put it on every single post because I want people to feel like they're getting to know me. And the same on my coaching page, the same on my handmade business page. So even though that's a little tiny thing, you know, what you'll find is when you start doing that, people will start leaving comments and they'll use your name. And when they use your name, they're really starting to build up that know, like, and trust factor. Do you agree, Anna?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's a good place to kind of segue into what should be in your bio.
Yes.
So, what should be in your bio? Your name and what you do. You should have, if you're a maker, we should know what your name is always, and we should know what you make. And you should list that in a very simple sentence at the first point in your bio. Now, this can take a bit of working out what the best thing to say is. Because you've got a limited amount of space. But in some ways, that's probably a good thing, because it means you can't ramble on, which, as you'll know, if you've been listening to us for a while, I like to ramble on. So having less characters means I have to keep what I need to say very short and sweet. So it's a good thing. So I think it's good to say who you are, what you make, and maybe who it's for, if you've got enough space. I'm trying to think of a good bio off the top of my head. No, I can't think of one, but yeah, you get the gist.
Yeah, one mistake that I do see people making on their bios quite a lot is they'll say something like, I make handmade gifts. Okay, what handmade gifts are they then? I still don't know what you make. I don't know your name. I don't know what you make. And then I look at their page and I'm like, no, still no idea what it is you're actually about. So for me, you know, having your name up there in your bio and then saying exactly what it is you make, you know, being more specific, then when people land on your page, they're going to know whether that page is for them or not. Because you've always got to remember, a confused person is not going to buy.
Yeah, definitely. And that's always a good place to put. I have seen a lot of people putting hashtags here. in their bio. If you own that hashtag, if that hashtag belongs to you, use it. If it doesn't belong to you, don't use it, because it doesn't actually add anything. But another thing as well that's really important to note is you have your name, your at, whatever your name is, but then you have like a title. Your bio has a title. This is where you can put your name, your actual given name, and then the name of your shop or what it is that you sell. So, for example, if you sell, well, I'm going to use Ruth, reusable products. So it's that title is searchable in search on Instagram. So if somebody was typing in reusable, Ruth's going to come up because she's got it in her title. So, for example, with you, Lindsay, do you have Fairy Maker in your title? I feel like you do.
I think I do.
Yeah, I feel like you do. So if you do, every time somebody types in Fairy.
Oh, I do. Yes.
You're searchable because you're there.
Yeah, I have Lindsay Warren Fairy Maker.
Exactly. So you've said it. Your name, full name, in fact, your name. Yeah. And what you make, and there you go, you're off to the races and you're searchable.
Yeah.
So very easy. I've actually changed mine this morning. So mine says, I think it says Anna Maria now. Well, it's just Anna, but I'm using the full middle name as well. So Anna Maria Etsy Expert. That's what it says on mine.
Oh,
it didn't say that before.
Yeah, needs to say what it does on the tin is what I always like to say. Yeah.
I'm taking my own flipping advice.
Yeah.
So, any other best practices for Instagram?
I think just always bear in mind that, you know, when people land on your page, straight away, they need to know what it is you sell. You know, always keep that a confused buyer does. A confused person won't buy. You know, keep that shopkeeper mindset that, you know, you're being helpful. You are not being salesy. You know, you're getting people to the checkout. Those people that want to buy from you want to know how to get to that checkout, and you're just helping them. So that, I mean, they are really my kind of top tips.
Yeah. So I the only other things that I would add to that are to make sure that your photographs aren't blurry, which we've said before.
Yeah.
And something that I don't think you've mentioned it while we've been recording. I think it was offline. Say again about your shop window.
Yeah. So one of the things I like to focus on with, you know, particularly with my coaching clients when I'm helping them with Instagram, is that, you know, an easy way to think about what should I put on my Instagram feed is, if you wouldn't put it in a physical shop window, then don't put it on your Instagram feed. Would you put last night's tea, you know, for example, in your shop window? You probably wouldn't. You perhaps, you know, and I've been guilty of doing all these things in the past, you know, but the more I've gone on with social media, and all those things are really great on your stories. And, you know, and to be honest, some of those type of posts would go down well on Facebook, but Instagram is all about the visuals. I want people to know, you know, what I'm selling. I want them to know how to buy. I want them to come onto my page and feel really good. I don't want them to be confused. I don't want them to see a load of random things and thinking, well, what is this person about? And that's what can happen. So an easy way to really get clear on what you should put on is just imagine that, you know, your Instagram feed is this beautiful shop full of your handmade items, and you wouldn't want anything in that shop, especially in the window, to mess that up. You want that shop window to be drawing everybody, you know, so they're going to walk past and say, wow, I want to find out more. I want to see more. And, you know, I want to go inside and look further. And that, to me, is how I view my Instagram feed, that I want to draw people in and really get them to want to look closer at everything that I sell.
I just love that thing. You wouldn't put last night's dinner in your shop window. You just wouldn't. you just wouldn't. So if you wouldn't put it in your shop window, don't put it on your feed.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I I always come back to her. I think I've mentioned her quite a few times, but a jewellery shop that I absolutely adore, and I think she has everything just on point, is Dear Mushka. Now, Katie, who is the owner of Dear Mushka, if you look at her Instagram feed, you can tell, first of all, I always know it's her in all of her posts when it comes up on my social media. She has a product in practically every single post, but she does it, and she also has family. She does it in such a way that you don't feel like you're being sold to, but you are. In every post, she's selling to you. She's telling you what this product is. And she very cleverly uses her stories, because I think that's another way that you can be a bit more flippant. Your stories, you can be a bit more... You could technically show last night's dinner on your stories if it was relevant, and you were just kind of building a little bit more of who you are. And it's going to disappear in 24 hours and it doesn't ruin your aesthetic. But I know everything about Katie. Well, obviously I don't, but I know lots about Katie because she brings me in on her stories. So if it doesn't fit in on her newsfeed, on her main feed, it fits in on her stories. So if there's something that you feel you want to share, take it to your stories. Don't put it on your feed.
Yeah, definitely.
And it is a good place to... There's Jasmine Starr talks about your content pillars. And I also talk about that within the planners. Like, you should have certain pictures. So whether or not coffee's part of your brand, but coffee with a product, or... trying to think of something. Ruth, for example, Ruth's had a lot of Lego in her product photographs, but it's because her children, she talks about her children on her posts, so you know she's a mum. Her products are useful for the Lego because you can keep the Lego inside. So her having Lego in the photograph, it's not off-putting, it's still on brand, it's still colourful.
Yeah.
So it's trying to find props if you need to, because you can have props in a window that are still on brand, still aesthetically pleasing, still don't make you feel like, oh, what was that? Like, why was that in that picture? And it adds more spice to your photograph. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I definitely would. It's all about, you know, creating that. I mean, I think like for Ruth, when she does the Lego, she's really setting the scene of what that product's going to be used for. And that's when it, you know, it can be so beneficial, because when you can have those type of photos where people can kind of see what they can do with your, you know, the items they buy from you, that can be really helpful. You know, sometimes I've shared, you know, really beautiful customer photos because they've been so, you know, they've been really beautiful. They've perhaps, the fairies have been in a lovely nursery or in a little girl's bedroom, and they look so nice, and I've obviously had permission from the customers to share them, and then that really sets the scene for other people looking at my page as well. So yeah, there's definitely a lot of benefits to doing things like that.
And that also fulfills the teach aspect of Setic, like the teach bit, because you're teaching your customer how they can use the product within their home. So, so we've said, you know, make sure your bio is on point. Another couple of things, make sure that you have a business account.
Yes.
That applies for Instagram and Pinterest, because you get statistics, and your analytics are really good for telling you when your audience is online. So when's the best time for you to post? I have seen a massive, sharp increase in my engagement over the past, let's say, 2.5 weeks, because I've really been taking notice of when my customer is online. My person's online between 7 and 9, but I used to post in the morning.
Yeah,
well, there's no point, because my person is not seeing it then. But by posting when Instagram's telling me they're there, I'm getting more engagement on my posts. So take note of that. And it's definitely very simple to do. It's in your settings. And the final thing I just wanted to say, which is something that seems to be getting a lot of coverage at the moment, is the like for like, follow for follow. only thing I'll say is just don't do it. Just don't do it. No point.
Yeah, when there's all these follow loops and things like that, you know, yes, I go and follow other handmade business owners, you know, and they'll perhaps follow me because I want to support them and I might be interested in what they're buying, but I don't ever go on these follow loops because, yes, you're going to increase people, but you want people that are going to see your page and think they're interested in what you're selling. You know,
absolutely.
And if it's another handmade business owner, but they have no interest whatsoever, then you have to think, well, is there really any point of that? You know, then you're just playing a numbers game, and numbers are good, but, you know, we want people that are actually going to convert to sales.
Certainly. So, yeah, don't do it if it's not for genuine connection purposes.
Yeah.
So if we've spoken a lot there about Instagram, but if we just move on to Pinterest,
yes,
for a second. So do you actively use Pinterest, Lindsay?
I can't remember.
Yes, I do. So I think, I think we have had this conversation because you've said that Pinterest has brought quite a lot of traffic to your Etsy shop.
Yeah, it's always the biggest driver of traffic, Pinterest is.
Yeah, so definitely. I think everybody would agree that Pinterest is a great platform to use.
Definitely.
Does it take a little bit of upfront? Yes, it does.
Yeah.
It's not going to be something where you just open a Pinterest account and that's kind of it. You post a few pins here and there. No, not going to work. But if you use it strategically and properly, it is by far, on my personal jewelry shops, it's by far the best converter of traffic outside of Etsy itself. I think I said recently, you know, over Christmas I had, I don't know, tens of thousands of views from Pinterest come to my shop. So yeah, definitely make use of it. Now the best place to probably start is understanding what your boards are going to be. I actually have a Pinterest planner, and it's within the Handmade Business Planner bundle, which you can get via my Instagram shop, which will take you to my Etsy, or if you just go straight to Etsy and type in Anna's Planners, you can find it there. Now, I'll help you within there how to schedule. I'll talk to you about how you need to be having 15 to 20 pins per day. It's very easy to repurpose content, so you don't have to be constantly thinking of what am I going to post today. Just repurpose content you've already done, whether it's a blog post or on your Instagram or from your Etsy shop in itself. And the best thing about your Etsy shop is when you pin straight to Pinterest, they're classed as rich pins. So they've got loads of data in the background, whether it's the price or the title and the tags. Those are great pins, and Pinterest really likes them. And Etsy also likes the fact that you've taken them. Lots to do there, but Tailwind is an app that I really recommend that you get. There is a subscription, you can get a free trial, but you're not going to get as much out of it. You need to really pay for the subscription. So I think it's £10 a month. I feel like it's £10 a month. But it's worth it if you want to make Pinterest part of your selling schedule.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Pinterest and is such a good way to go. Definitely.
So if we move on to Facebook.
Yeah. So I think, you know, I found that lately that a lot of my coaching clients, they don't even really want to entertain Facebook. I think there is quite a lot of negativity around Facebook at the moment in particular. And as a business owner, I think it seems to be harder and harder to be getting seen on Facebook unless you think about paid ads. You know, and I know for myself, having a Facebook page and an Instagram page for the same amount of time, my Instagram page is like 4 times bigger than my Facebook following, even that I've had in the same amount of time. What I would say for, you know, it can be a good platform, and for, you know, for some people, they do really well from Facebook, but Facebook is very different to Instagram. And, you know, if you want to make a success of Facebook, you do need to do a lot more posts that are a lot more engaging, asking people questions, not just sharing your, what you sell. You know, on Facebook, that just doesn't work. It really does need a lot more different content to Instagram to make it work effectively. So I think you have to kind of decide whether it's something you want to put your time and energy into, to see if it's really going to work for you. And like I say, it can really work, but it is something you've got to put time and effort into. But it's like all of the different platforms, you know, if you want to get good at any of them, if you want to be good on Pinterest, on Facebook, on Instagram, you have to put the work in. None of them just happen, you know, on their own without you putting in work as well. Do you agree, Anna?
Yeah, and I've said to you before we came on the call, I really don't like Facebook, not just as a maker or a you know, as an Etsy expert. I don't like Facebook as on a personal level. I haven't liked it for a long time. I think it's quite a toxic place to be honest.
Yeah.
And I actually went through and deleted probably, I don't know, 7/8 of all, that was a random fraction, but 7/8 of all the people that I was friends with on Facebook, just because I didn't like the sorts of things that people were sharing, which is, you know, the sorts of things that were on there in the first place. I find Instagram to be a much more inclusive platform. Now, don't get me wrong, there's still negativity on Instagram, but I find it's easier to avoid it on Instagram than it is on Facebook, because I don't necessarily have to see what other people are sharing. I don't know. I just find it a toxic place. And I find Instagram visually stimulating. I feel like I can really connect with people on there. I don't have that experience on Facebook. If you get on well with Facebook and you feel like you can make it work, go on. You know, that's great for you. We're just giving our own kind of personal experience. Yeah. And I think that energy can be put elsewhere. I mean, at the end of the day, you're not taking money from anybody. Instagram's still owned by Facebook anyway. Yeah. So, and if you use WhatsApp, that's also owned by them. So
yeah,
no matter where you go, you're still technically using Facebook. But I think Snapchat's owned by them as well, isn't it? I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure, to be honest. I'm not really a Snapchat user very much.
I'm not anymore. I was at first, but not anymore. But yeah. So what about TikTok?
So I've had a little dabble with TikTok. You know, my daughter, being 12, nearly 13, is a big fan of TikTok. That is her go-to social media, that and Snapchat. Yeah, so I'm often getting ridiculous videos shown to me. So, you know, I have had a little go and done a few videos. My daughter's done a few little videos on my handmade business. But again, it is one of those things, if you want to get good on it, you've got to put the effort in. And there are sellers on there that are doing really, really well. You know, my daughter has shown me all these different lip gloss companies and slime and, you know, all the things that you look at when you're that age. And, you know, some of them are doing really, really well. So it can be a really good selling platform, but it is, you know, I think there are, obviously the age group on there is a lot younger. So if you'd need to appeal to the right age group to probably make a really good success on there, I would say. You know, it is very much teenagers, a lot of it. But it is having the time to do it if you want to do it well.
And I also think as well that if you are using any of these platforms, you need to have a proper strategy. Not just having a platform for having a platform's sake. How is this going to benefit your business? Because that's what you're taking your business on there for, to sell. So how is it benefiting you to sell, basically?
Yeah.
So don't just have anything. Don't even just have a Pinterest if you're not going to use it to sell your products. If you're just going to repin a load of other people's, you know, random pins, just have a personal Pinterest account for that. Don't do that on your actual business account. I'm not saying never repin anything, but actually, and I will link to it in the show notes, that Pinterest brought out best practices not very long ago. And one of the things that they don't want people to do is just to overly repin other people's things. That's actually not beneficial for them as a platform. So actually just don't do it at all, really, if you've got your own business account. Obviously do it yourself if you've got your personal account, because that's just benefiting you. So one thing as well with the TikTok is that TikTok kind of merged into Reels, or Instagram stole the idea from TikTok, as Instagram will always do. They'll always steal the good ideas. And they made Reels on Instagram. I've got a bit of an addiction to Reels at the moment, I can't lie. I absolutely love watching them. I think people come up with some really amazing, funny things that really entertain me. But I've also seen that lots of makers have been using those 15 or 30 second clips to go behind the scenes on how something's made. And I can watch them over and over again. I saw this woman making this big pot, and it was going to be like a plant pot. And she was on her, what's it called? The spinning table. What's it called? Is it called where the pottery goes round and round? Can't remember.
Oh, is anyway, it just like a potter's wheel?
Yeah, the potter's wheel. Yeah, she was on her potter's wheel and she was just making it on. It was so therapeutic to watch. And then she painted it. And obviously it was time-lapsed so that she could fit it all into 30 seconds. And I ended up following her. And if I ever need to buy a plant pot, I'll tell you now, I'll go to her, because I'm just like, I've watched how she makes it and I'm fascinated by it all. So, you know, Reels are a good way to entertain, to inspire somebody and to connect with them and to get them to purchase from you. So you fill in those settings. There's a little bit of an upfront learning curve, though. They're not just as easy as boom.
No.
They take a minute to get used to.
They do.
But, and Lindsay, would you mind if I moved on to some of the accounts that I love on Instagram?
Oh yeah, no, I'd love you to share that, Anna.
So like I say, Reels take a little bit of upfront. In fact, Instagram takes a little bit of upfront kind of knowledge and research. So these are the accounts that I'm loving at the moment, and they are really inspiring me to kind of get my Reel game on point and my Instagram game on point. So Brittany Battler, she's one. She's epic. Obviously, Ginny Fears, but I feel like we mentioned her quite a lot last week, so I didn't put her in. But yeah, so Ginny Fears, Brittany Battler, Elise Dahmer, she's also excellent. Obviously, Jasmine Starr. Starr's really good at kind of explaining to you how to strategically manage your Instagram. Shine with Natasha, she's really good. Now, two other ones, I've just kind of found them very recently. One girl called Ali B. Cramner. Now, she talks about how to create a content strategy that works around your menstrual cycle.
Oh.
Because I know, exactly.
How bizarre. I've never heard of that before.
Neither had I. But as somebody who is, I was going to say, very in tune, we're all very in tune with our cycles in a month as women. But as somebody who's heavily affected emotionally by my cycle, I found that very interesting and very unique, very niche.
Yeah.
You know, there's certain points in the month where there's no point in me doing that kind of thing. And then there's other points where that kind of thing is going to be perfect when it comes to content creation. So I found that quite interesting. And then the final one is Northern Bee Marketing. Now, she focuses on many different topics, but one of the things that really struck me was how she is accessible. She wants you to have all your posts be accessible. So she talks about the background settings in Instagram, which aren't necessarily so obvious, like alt text and captions, so that anybody that's looking at your posts is able to access them, basically. I don't want anybody to be left behind. So if I can help with that, then I will. And she was explaining how to do that, so I found that very interesting.
Oh, that sounds really good. I'll have to check that out as well.
So, yes. Did you have anything further to add? Because I feel like I've done my list.
Yeah, no, I suppose there was just a quote that I found about social media. Now, I'll be honest, when I was looking for quotes, it was all full of negativity, which in some ways is a bit of a shame. Because when it's used the right way, social media can be a brilliant tool, a brilliant marketing tool for your business. So I think this might be just be a nice sort of tool to tool. Quote even to finish off with. So don't use social media to impress people, use it to impact people. And that's by someone called Dave Willis. So, you know, I suppose I always like to think that the impact that I'm getting is, you know, on my handmade page is that I'm making people feel good. You know, I want them to have that little magic message and feel uplifted and good when they visit my page, whether they buy or not. So that's the impact I want to create. So I think for people just to bear that in mind is kind of quite a good thing to think about.
Right, well, I think we've gone through quite a lot there. There'll be a huge list of show notes.
Yep.
So make sure you go and have a look through them. Also, please go on to iTunes. Please leave us a review. Please subscribe to the podcast. It really does help us out with the algorithm. And, you know, the more people that we can reach, the more people that we can help. And, you know, we've got a really nice community of women at the moment where, you know, everybody's commenting and saying how much they've enjoyed the podcast. So obviously we love to hear about the fact that you've enjoyed the podcast episode, and please do continue to tell us and share our podcast on your Instagram page or your Facebook page or wherever you are on socials. But do leave us a review on iTunes, because it massively helps us out. So we will see you all again soon.
Take care, everyone. Bye.